I know firsthand how exhausting it can be to manage all the tasks in my reselling business, like listing, bookkeeping, and more, but I found a solution that has given me back my time and allowed me to grow my business, hiring a virtual assistant. And now I want to share that solution with you. That's why I've created an online course called Hiring a Virtual Assistant for Your Reselling Business. With this course, you'll learn everything you need to know to find, train, and manage a virtual assistant like a pro. And because I want to make this course accessible to everyone, I'm offering a special coupon code, FLIPTHESCRIPT, that gives you $10 off at checkout. Don't miss out on this opportunity to take your reselling business to the next level. Sign up now at hiringava.com and let's enjoy the freedom and fun of growing our businesses together. Again, you can sign up at hiringava.com. Welcome to the Flip the Script podcast. I'm your host, Denali, and I'm a full-time reseller on eBay and Poshmark. My store and closet name is El Ducho, E-L-D-U-C-H-O, and you can find me on Instagram and YouTube as El Ducho Thrift. This week, I did a follow-up interview with a friend who was the second guest on my podcast, and her name is Jade. You can find Jade on Instagram as Fashion Without Trashin, as well as her website, which is the same name, fashionwithouttrashin.com, or on Poshmark under the username Ornamental Stone. And all of this information will be in the show notes for you. If you haven't listened to Jade's first interview, I highly recommend going back and listening to that before this episode. Jade is a full-time reseller living in New York City with her husband, and she has spent the past year expanding her business. 2020 was a challenging year for small businesses and resellers, but Jade positioned herself well with bulk suppliers to grow her business in a down economy. I don't want to reveal too much, so let's get into the interview. Hi, Jade. Thanks for being on the podcast with me again.
Hey, Denali. Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have this follow-up conversation with you. To those who might be new to the podcast, Jade was the second guest I ever interviewed on the podcast. So go listen to that episode first. It should be easy to find. And you so graciously reached out to me in the beginning, Jade, and offered to be on the podcast, which was, it honestly felt so nice just to have people believe in me and something that I wanted to do and have people want to be a part of it and give me their time, because I don't pay people for interviews. So
wait, I'm not getting paid for this. Hold on. I'm going to go.
Oh, sorry. I can pay you in eBay or friendship credits.
It's fine. Yeah, friendship. I'll take friendship credits.
Okay. I'll give you some friendship credits for sure. But yeah, no, I really do appreciate that, because, you know, when I started the podcast, I was so nervous, like, would anyone listen to it? Would anyone want to be a part of it? And so having great friends like you reach out and offer to be on was so nice. So thank you. And thank you for coming back and giving more of your unpaid time. Okay. So like I mentioned,
quit reminding me.
Yeah. I know, time is money, right? So you were first on, you know, I first interviewed you on September 11th, 2019, which is sounds so long ago. I know, crazy. I know. So I guess to just jump right in, you know, and this is a pretty broad question, but maybe you can run us through a timeline. But, you know, what has happened in your business since September of 2019?
Yeah. So a lot of stuff has happened. Back in September, actually around that time that we recorded that episode, I was looking more and more into partnering with donation-based charities and recycling centers, just trying to find places that had this mass excess of clothing that I could possibly help with and get that, you know, distributed to other people across the country that would be able to resell it. So I had just started looking for partners. By the end of 2019, I had found probably like three or four partners that I could work with. And I was kind of just like working through deals with that. So That was kind of a really good end to my 2019. And then 2020 blew its doors open, of course.
Made the grand entrance.
And all H-E-L-L broke loose.
Yes.
Yeah. And basically my year started off really rocky because, well, it started off good, actually. I had convinced Anna, who's my best friend, to come onto the company. So I hired her to come on full time, which mm-hmm. I was so excited about and so happy for. The thrifting and prospects of stuff that I was getting in the beginning of the year was really great, you know, so I felt really optimistic and sales were like starting off really good in 2020. And then halfway through January, like, I mean, things hit the fan. I had a very like weird situation with a blogger. We Wore What, her name's Danielle Bernstein, where I had actually acquired a bunch of We Wore What product that I had no idea were samples of her stuff that was yet to be released. At this point in time, I had Anna listing everything for me. So I was just doing the sourcing and trying to bring the stuff in, and she was listing and modeling. So I actually had taught her how to research items and look things up. But I mean, at the end of the day, she doesn't know everything and all the nuances and stuff. So to her, it never would have been odd to not find these items online. Mm-hmm. It probably would have raised a red flag for me, but it didn't for her, of course. So we got all of these items listed. And then within like 24 to 48 hours, I was being contacted and told that they were, you know, mistakes. They weren't supposed to be out in the world. Yeah. So, I mean, we can get more into that later, but yeah, that was the whole situation, which really started my year off really terrifyingly. But I was at the time still in my 219 square foot studio. And my husband was actually in a one bedroom. Like, we were living like half and half because of this horrible situation I was going on with my landlord. And I was trying to rectify that, which thankfully, you know, halfway through last year, we were able to get out of that situation and move on. And now we've moved into a really lovely apartment. It's my favorite apartment in the world. I have like a view of a river and it's just so incredible. I'm so grateful for it. But yeah, also in 2020, after, you know, some of those sticky situations, I was able to further my connections with bulk suppliers and start supplying bulk a little bit sparingly in the beginning because of the coronavirus hitting. A lot of warehouses were shut down. You know, we were all on lockdowns. And I took that time to sort of focus on creating content and things for the future for my business and for other people, like learning content and stuff that I've actually yet to release. But that's all there. It just hasn't been put out into the world yet. And yeah, so bulk was something that really changed for me in 2020. I added that sort of into my business offerings, and it has gone really, really well. So I ended up growing my business last year probably by a 4-time multiple, which is really crazy because I had no idea that that would happen and that it could happen so quickly. And obviously, you know, hiring Anna, that was a big part of it. And then my husband became eligible to work in the United States about halfway through 2020. So he was then allowed to come on and start working in the business as well. So with three of us going, we really cranked it out. And I mean, we spent a summer of working 18 plus hour days for like 60 days in a row. Like, we were nonstop. Every opportunity we could get, we were like, we don't know what's going to happen. The future feels really scary. So we're going to just work as much as we can and bank as much as we can. So that way we don't, you know, we have some stability going into the new year. And, you know, now it's 2021 and I actually hired another person this year. So now there are four of us. And
wow.
Yeah. And my latest venture is I started a Depop shop 2 weeks ago and we're already ranked number 4,000 in the world on Depop.
Whoa. That's cool.
Yeah. It's mainly just t-shirts. So
well,
pretty crazy.
That's what does well there.
Yeah, true.
Well, okay. That's a heck of a year. I guess I want to go back to January if we can, you know, and talk about the situation with We Wore What and the product that you acquired. Can you give a little more context to the story about, you know, how you got the items and really just what unfolded?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I got the stuff. I've never spoken publicly about where I acquired the items from. And so I won't do it now. But
sure,
the reason for that is honestly to simply protect where it came from. It all came legally. If I ever had to prove anything, I have, you know, documents. Everything is on the up and up. But I did not want to transfer negative attention somewhere else that didn't deserve it, because mm-hmm. I was already knowing what that felt like. So basically, we got the items listed. She contacted me through Instagram, and she didn't contact me through my at Fashion Without Trash in Instagram. She contacted me through my at Ornamental Stone Instagram, which is the one that's kind of connected to my Poshmark. And I actually just don't even use it anymore, but it just stays up. She recently came into my DMs and she was like, oh my gosh, how did you get this stuff? It's not supposed to be released. Like, these are my unreleased samples. Please take them down. Like, she, you know, seemed really distraught. Mm-hmm. When I read this, I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, I was like nervous and also just felt really bad that, you know, she was in this bad situation. That was my initial reaction. I was like, hey, no worries. Like, you know, what's going on? Like, how is this possible? And she was just like, listen, please just take it all down. I will buy it all from you. Please remove it all from the internet right now. Like, it's an emergency, basically. And so I said, okay, yeah, no problem. I mean, if you would like to purchase it all, like, that's completely fine. We'll get it removed, like, as soon as possible. So Anna and I literally started taking everything down, and like, we had listed all of it, and this was 100 pieces.
Wow.
So, you know, done all the photography, all of the listings, just inventory, everything, right? A lot of work had already gone into these items. So she was really grateful at that point and was just like, here's, you know, my email, here's whatever, like, I'm gonna like give you a gift card as well, because like, I'm so grateful. I was like, okay, awesome. This sounds good. And she was like, yeah, I just, you know, let me know what you paid for the items and I'll reimburse you. And I said, oh, well, I'm sorry. Like, you would need to pay the resale price because you're like purchasing the items. You know, we've already done this work for them or whatever. And she's like, okay, that's fine. No problem. She goes, I'll pay it. Just please take them down. I was like, okay, great. And for me, I thought, okay, this is like pretty straightforward. This is a business asking to purchase from my business. It's like none of my business what their mistake was or what happened. I'm just going to get this stuff back to them and I'm going to take it all down really quickly. And that's what we did. Mm-hmm. Oh, I sent the invoice the next day and I did not hear back from them for like hours. And I felt a little bit anxious. And then I got an email reply back that basically said, like, I don't understand. I told you I would pay you what you paid for them. And I'm under the impression like you didn't pay much. I was like, ooh, wait a minute. That's not what we agreed upon. These mm-hmm. were the terms we talked about through Instagram. And I sort of like reiterated that and said, you know, also the type of work that I do, what goes into it, et cetera, et cetera. You know, how I couldn't come to her basically and say like, hey, I want to purchase your bathing suits for what you purchased it for. Mm-hmm. Because that wouldn't make sense. She's a business. I'm a business. And she did not, she was not okay with that. She did not agree. She basically told me that if I did not agree to her terms, that she was already in contact with the Poshmark CEO and that they would have my entire shop removed. So basically at that point, I felt she was holding me hostage and telling me, you know, if you don't do this, I'm going to destroy your business and take you down in one fell swoop. I've already spoken to the CEO and, you know, it was, the impression she gave me was that they were going to take my shop down. I, you know, wrote back and said that I would fight this and that legally I had done nothing wrong, and that if she wasn't interested in purchasing the items at that point, then I was going to relist them. And she told me if I relisted them, basically that she would have her lawyers come after me. And within, I think, like an hour or two, I had an email from their lawyer accusing me of trademark and copyright infringement, which, you know, is really scary when you're a small business. I don't have a legal team. I don't have people on retainer to just send out these, you know, frivolous emails and take down small businesses. So I was scared. I immediately just did not know what to do. And I knew, okay, my dog just attacked my foot. She's not happy about this either. I knew that I had not committed any trademark infringement or copyright infringement. I knew that I was within my rights and within the law. Like, I've been reselling for 18 plus years. I take my own photos. I don't do that. I understand not to do that. So I had to seek out, you know, some lawyers and friends and tried to talk to people. And during this time, I mean, days were going by. It was almost a full week before I said anything on social media. And during that time, I actually had two other people that I ended up in contact with that had been gone after by her, actually before she contacted me. So there were other Poshmark sellers who had gotten a hold of some of her goods and listed them on Poshmark, and she had found out already. And the first girl, as far as what I could tell from the timeline, she posted the items up. Danielle DM'd her some really nasty messages, basically saying like, who the F do you think you are? You stole my shit. Like, how effing dare you? I'm gonna, like, my lawyers will be contacting you. Take my shit down. Like, I mean, the messages were like intense. And before this girl could even reply back to her, Danielle tracked down where she worked. And she called her work to find her. And then, I mean, allegedly, according to the girl I spoke to, Danielle like berated her on the phone, calling her a thief and just full blown attacking her. And the girl's like, listen, I don't know what you're talking about. And she told Danielle that she bought the items at Goodwill, and that, you know, she was like, I bought them there. Like, I don't, you know, I didn't steal anything from you. Like, I'm really sorry, but, you know, I'm just like a part-time person that does this. I have a full-time job. Like, you're calling me at my job, you know, if you want the stuff back. And Danielle's like, I want my items back. I want my items back. And she's like, you can have them back, whatever. So Danielle just gave her, I guess, what she paid for them. And this girl told her, you know, I guess gave her a receipt. I don't know what it was, but according to Danielle, when she told me in an email, that it was $3 to $5 an item. And so she assumed that that's also what I paid for my stuff. And I later had to explain to her that that is not necessarily how it works. But so she got this girl to give her the stuff back for $3 to $5 an item and gave her like a gift card. Like, I felt really bad about that situation. And then another girl came to me with another situation that was quite similar. And after nobody got back to me for 5 full business days, between Danielle, her lawyers, and Poshmark, nobody was talking to me. I just basically broke down. I could not handle it anymore. I thought for sure I was just like, my business was being held hostage. I wasn't allowed to list my items. I didn't know what to do. I didn't feel like I had enough money to hire a lawyer to combat this, that it would just probably end up bankrupting me. So, or bankrupting my business, I mean. Mm-hmm. So I just went on Instagram and I was just so upset, and I just started talking. And really, in my mind, I was just talking to the people that I talk to every single day on Instagram. I was talking to you, you know, I was talking mm-hmm. to my friends, to the only people that I knew would understand the situation that I was in and how it would feel to have so much of your inventory, you know, $10,000 plus locked up in this. So yeah, that ended up going viral. I had, by the end of it, like 1 million story views, which was really daunting and scary. I had a lot of famous people and blue check marks that were like watching my stories. And I was just like, it spiraled so quickly. I truly didn't, I had no idea that was going to happen. And Danielle then began like reaching out to me through email with her lawyer, then at that point, another lawyer, a different lawyer, asking me to speak, telling me that, you know, it was always her intention to take care of me and that those other lawyers weren't actually her lawyer, but it literally said like on behalf of Danielle Bernstein. So I was like, I'm so confused. And that, you know, now she has this other lawyer that's her personal lawyer. And I was like, okay, great. You've got all these lawyers. Like, good job. I don't know what you want from me. And she kept, you know, asking me to have the phone calls with her. And I was like, no, like, I'm not getting on the phone with you and your lawyer. Like, it's not going to happen. And she's like, how can we resolve this? And I was like, well, you can just pay your invoice and I can send you your things and we can be done with this. Like, I don't want to fight with you or anything. But she insisted on having like a meeting, and I insisted on either if it was going to, you know, be with her lawyer, that I would have a lawyer then as well, that I would need to get a lawyer, or mm-hmm. we could have a chat like woman to woman and settle this, because I truly felt like that should be easy enough to do. Like, this shouldn't have to drag on. And I was already just very uncomfortable with how much attention it had gotten and not realizing it would have gone that way. So she actually told me to come to her home, which, you know, this is where I think it got really much worse for me. And I think publicly I acted like it was completely fine and she was so nice and whatever. And it was because I just wanted to get it over with and I didn't want to fight with her and I didn't want to have to go through a legal route. Mm-hmm. Oh, so I did go to her home, but it was very uncomfortable. There were other people there. I think like her staff were sitting in the same room. I didn't really feel like it was an even playing field, and I probably shouldn't have agreed to having a meeting in someone's home, because also there's this feeling of like, I need to respect this person. I need to respect their space because I'm in their space. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little bit awkward when you're talking about business, I think. But I knew going in there that I was like, whatever deal she was going to offer, she had told me she had a couple of ideas on how we could solve it. And I was just like, in my head, honestly, pretty much anything at this point, I'm going to just say yes. And like, be like, as long as I can recoup the time and money that we've put into it, I want to walk away from this. So mm-hmm. she did initially offer like a deal that was fine with me, which was to pay for part of the invoice for the time that we had already spent, you know, on the items, then to pay for the time to relist new items, and that she would basically swap the items out that I had with her latest season of items. She also, you know, mentioned a lot of other things that never came to fruition, but, you know, whatever, I'm not dwelling, like, it doesn't, I'm happy that it didn't, let's just say that, I'm happy that we did not, like, end up partnering together on anything or working together on anything, especially how the year continued with her. But she, yeah, was, yeah, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but she was very condescending. She approached it in a way where I felt it was very disingenuous. I cried at one point explaining to her that, you know, I had just hired my best friend. My husband was still here, like on an immigration status that was open, like he couldn't work here, and you know, I couldn't just give this stuff away to her. Like it was impossible. Like, it would hurt my business too much and it would make me a terrible business owner. Mm-hmm. And in explaining this to her, it was like watching, I couldn't even understand this. She almost like mimicked me in a way and then pretended to cry, did not actually cry, but pretended to cry. And was like, oh, this has been really hard on me. She's like, I've been bullied. Do you know that I've been bullied for this? And I was like, Danielle, you bullied me. I was like, you realized what you did in your actions. You bullied me. And she was like, well, I'm starting a foundation for kids in high school or whatever for anti-bullying. And like, I just, you know, I can't have this because I'm working on this foundation. And I think my eyes must have popped out of my head. I was like, I don't think you should be the one working on that. Like, I don't know if you understand what it means to not bully somebody. And it's really embarrassing to me, you know, to even have to sit here as a grown woman to say this other grown woman is bullying me. Like, this is embarrassing. Like, this sucks. And yeah, she just basically said it was really painful for her. And I was like, well, I'm really sorry, like, that it's been hurtful for you as well. But you know, now we have a resolution. But she went on to say things like, oh, so you got 8,000 new Instagram followers. You must really like that, huh? I was like, what? I don't care. Like, this is not, that's not making me happy right now. She's like, yeah, but it must be good for you though, right? It must be good for your business. I was like, actually, I don't think that Instagram followers who are coming to look at this specific like drama are necessarily all going to be here to stay to support me and support my business and what I do. I think I have a very niche thing that I work on, and not everybody wants to follow that and see what I do. You know, some people are interested in it and some people are not, but I don't actually even drive a lot of sales to my business through my Instagram, especially at that point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, explaining that to her, and she's like, well, you know, for somebody who's not really good at this type of stuff, you sure know how to get yourself a lot of press. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't get myself any press. Like, you must have gotten the press. I said to her, I think the Betches article came from you because it was pretty skewed in your direction. The person who wrote it literally said they didn't even watch my stories. So mm-hmm. I was like, I don't think that definitely wasn't me, you know? And I didn't even release any quotes or anything to the press about it at all. So I just basically said, like, I have nothing to do with that, you know? So I think she pushed a lot of those things, trying to make it sound like and seem like I did this purposefully to try and get a spotlight on myself or to try and boost my business or, you know, all of these kind of really nasty things. And that was really hurtful to me. And then she asked me several times to take this video for Instagram. And I really, really felt uncomfortable and did not want to take this video because I did not feel like it was appropriate. And she insisted upon it. And so finally, when we're taking this video, in the video, she tells everybody, she's like, yeah, I'm like, we cried together and like, everything's great. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is so... I don't like this at all. And I think I just like stood there with the most awkward look on my face because I was like, oh, I don't want this. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, I felt it. I knew she was using me to make it look like everything's fine, guys. Like, don't worry about it. PR is good or whatever, you know? Oh, it just felt so, it just broke my heart. Like, it felt terrible. And yeah, afterwards, I just remember, you know, she had told me, we had specifically spoken about how I would be the one to be able to release the information on the meeting and the things that we agreed upon on social media and stuff, and that she wouldn't do it ahead of me because I don't like to share things before they've happened. I don't like to give out, you know, information that isn't true yet. So mm-hmm. I didn't want to tell everybody what our resolution was until it was actually fulfilled and resolved. Obviously, like I didn't have that trust there either. So every single day until I actually finally posted about it, she would ask me like, are you going to post about it? Are you going to say this? Are you going to do this? Don't talk to the press. Don't do this. And I was just like, oh my gosh, please just like fulfill this. She's like, well, we already paid you. And I'm like, yeah, but you haven't picked up your stuff, or like, I haven't gotten my stuff. And I was supposed to get like the newer season stuff. And then they sent me line sheets for stuff that was like, several seasons old and clearly had like scattered items and only a few sizes. And I was like, no, this is not what we agreed upon. Like, I'm not taking three seasons ago when I have your next three seasons in my hands. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm already downgrading to your latest season, right? Right. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, she just kept wanting me to post about it, but she also made sure to ask me like several times, but you're good, right? You're going to post something positive. You're going to post something positive. And I was like, yeah, you don't need to worry about it. Like, I want this to be over. So like, I'm just going to post like what the resolution is, whatever. You apologize, fine. I accept your apology. Like, I'm willing to just let go of it. And, you know, there were some things she told me that she would also do. And I didn't ask for these things. I want to be very clear about that. She was offering them and, you know, wanted to be quote unquote supportive of me and my small business and things like that. She said that she was going to post me on her social media, post my business there to direct mm-hmm. traffic to it, which is something that did not happen. She told me that, you know, once the swimsuits up that were up, that she would share it so that her followers went to go buy it. She told me that in the future, instead of, you know, throwing away samples or not knowing where samples would go, that she would work with me with, you know, with the hopes of working in more sustainability for the business, in what happened to the samples or what happened to, you know, extras and things like that. That obviously never happened. She did not follow through on that. And I guess there were just like several other things that she added in that she never followed through on, which, you know, in retrospect, upsets me that I put something out there making it seem like she was going to follow through with all of this and be like a kinder person. And I kind of just let it go because I thought, oh, I'm never going to have to see this woman again or talk to this woman again. And it's over. And she's like, why did you block me? I need you to unblock me. You have to unblock me. And I was like, okay, I'll unblock you on social media. like, I don't want to see you. Yeah, that's so weird. But she wanted to communicate with me through social media. And I was like, all right, whatever, fine. I eventually like reblocked her because, oh my gosh, I've had to see her every single month of all of 2020. It was like it never ended. I had to be reminded of her like left, right, and center because of these controversies that kept coming up. And I'm like, how did she start? She started her year off in 2020 by going after my business. And it was just like boom, 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 like dominoes, I feel like, mm-hmm. afterwards.
Yeah.
So yes.
You know, I'm curious, you know, what do you say to people who think or say that your business benefited because of what happened? Do you feel like your business benefited because of the whole we wore what situation?
No, I do not feel like my business benefited at all. And I was really mentally, emotionally drained from that situation. It was really difficult on me. I truly believed and thought that my business would be ended by it. Afterwards, you know, like I said, I wasn't driving a bunch of sales through social media. And if you follow me on social media, you know, I don't post a ton of sales in my stories. I don't post a ton of like new items or drive traffic there. It's just not what I do. Maybe I'm just not good at it in that way. But my social media for me, it isn't intended to be monetized. It's intended to be my social media where I share my passion and love for what I do and talk about it. And do people purchase from me through that? Yeah, sometimes they do. But I definitely did not see an uptick in sales because of it. I did not, you know, that is not something that happened from that situation. And, you know, coronavirus literally hit within 6 weeks after all of that went down. And so we were getting these bathing suits up in a time where nobody could even leave the country at that point. So mm-hmm. they were actually like, again, just like sort of devalued in another way because of the timing. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't really have people say that to me much, but I didn't benefit from it financially. I think I came out of it with the same amount of money I would have come out of if I had just sold the swimsuits from the get-go and not gone through that situation. I do think that I gained, you know, followers on social media. But those, like I suspected anyways, have like somewhat fallen off because I think people were there to see what was happening. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it, which is okay. Like I understand. And it's, you know, I'm fine with that. But yeah, I just don't feel like it really did much except for make me really upset, and it actually stopped me from working for a period of time.
Yeah. Well, thank you for talking so openly about it. I think, you know, people are curious to we're curious to hear a little bit more of the backstory. So I appreciate you being so open about it, but certainly that's not the only part of your 2020, and you did more exciting things than that.
Yes.
So, you know, moving on from that, you know, 2020 was kind of a roller coaster of a year. Mm-hmm. I think it started off, you know, when the pandemic hit, a lot of our businesses, we felt very uncertain about them. Mm-hmm. And we possibly saw, you know, declines in sales in March. So how, I guess, you know, you alluded to it a little bit earlier, getting the new apartment and taking on new partnerships, but how has your business been doing, you know, financially and personally this past year?
So financially, it's been the best year of my business, which is was quite shocking. It definitely seemed very gloomy in January, February, and March for me of that year. And moving forward, you know, through the coronavirus, it was scary, but I decided to keep trying to work. Like I thought, I'm going to look for opportunity in this. I'm going to try and find a way to, you know, get more product. I'm going to try and find a way to basically put all my money in and go for broke. You know, like either this is going to work or it's going to tank, but I'm going to go down trying at very least, rather than sort of sitting here and waiting for my business to slowly dwindle down. So a lot of the partners that I had started partnerships with in 2019, looking for bulk to start selling in, you know, mystery boxes and then start selling in bulk to other resellers across the country. I was reaching out to them and saying like, hey, what's going on with your stuff? Are, you know, where are your items at? Like, what's going on with your warehouse? And a lot of their responses were, you know, like their warehouses were shut down or they couldn't be in operations right now. And, you know, that was completely understandable. But with a few of them, I came up with viable options for us to be able to work through a pandemic where we didn't have to, and we still don't have to ever cross paths. So basically in the situation I work in now, there's a drop-off sort of situation where they come in and drop things off. And for at least 24 hours, it's left there by itself, like it's not touched. And then I use GarmaGuard, I believe it's called, on everything now, and to disinfect everything, and it doesn't ruin the clothing, and you know, it keeps everything clean. And so we've kind of put these processes in to make it very safe for us. So that kind of started in the middle of, I would say, like April or early May perhaps, where I started working in these warehouses and going there when nobody else was there. And oh my gosh, they were just full of stuff because nothing was being shipped overseas. A lot of the other like shipping companies and other warehouses were all shut down. So things were just completely piling up everywhere. And they were piling up in the city too, because, you know, the donation-based charities couldn't open their stores. And I mean, there was just stuff everywhere. So from that point to when I, you know, in September, I think at one point I finally like took a break and stepped back from it. I was in a warehouse every single day, 7 days a week for months and months and months and months. Wow. And in through the summer, we would just be like dripping sweat, climbing over these things, like unbagging clothes, rebagging clothes, sorting things, trying to get them not only, you know, out for us, but for other resellers so I could sell to them. And then also to separate things so that it could be recycled possibly, like, you know, trying to figure out other avenues for these things versus them just being shipped overseas. And it also did give me a peek into this industry on a level that I think most of us as resellers never see the actual, like, brevity of how much stuff there is. Mm-hmm. And how much is going completely to waste, like either being thrown away or shipped away, or maybe shipped away isn't going to waste, but you know, if it's being thrown away, obviously that's going to waste. And how much equity there is in this stuff that could be kept in our own economy here and could be, you know, kept circular and keep so many of the CO2 emissions down from transporting it so many places. So from that point on, I've really shifted my focus actually in my business to not just have singular items that I'm selling, but to be able to get as many items as possible redistributed and put back into circulation. So I think last year, a rough total of how many items I was able to get back into circulation was like 50,000.
Wow.
And yeah, I am like, it makes me emotional thinking about it because it makes me so happy.
Yeah.
And I never thought it was possible for my hands to like touch so many, like I touch every single one of these items and I personally choose every single one of these items. Like I'm doing this manually, the labor is there. Mm-hmm. And the sad part is that, you know, of the 50,000 pieces I'm taking, you know, that's only about 10% of what I touch. Right. And the rest of it, I can't take it. It's not, you know, viable for resale. It's not viable for reuse in some cases. And I just don't have the capacity to take everything in and do something with everything. But furthermore, towards the end of 2020, I started working on partnerships and talking to some people about more circularity projects and, you know, what I can do moving forward in 2021 to save more clothing. And to sort of scale the situation that I'm in multiple different ways with the goal of saving as many pieces of clothing as possible, whether it's, you know, by myself doing it or, you know, through sending it through other resellers, through sending it through recycling or whatever it may be.
And since, you know, cities have started to open back up, have your partnerships become negatively impacted because more people are getting out or thrift stores have opened?
So I did have some partners try and like give some pushback on pricing and sort of like the partnerships and stuff. And I was I wanted to remind them that I was, you know, the only person that purchased from them during the pandemic. I purchased at premium prices above what any of their other buyers or, you know, distributors were paying them pre-pandemic, post-pandemic, during pandemic or anything. I've always paid them more. And I, you know, I told them like, listen, I want you to succeed and I need you to want me to succeed. So the partnership has to be symbiotic. You know, it can't be like, oh, I see that you're doing well, so I want more money. And I have to explain to them, like, listen, you run a business, you know how it works. In order for me to look like I'm even doing well, I have to hire more people. I have to pay more for this. I, you know, I pay you a fair amount and I know you know that. So I'm, you know, willing to renegotiate things, you know, when it's possible, but I also have to think about my customer who, you know, is a reseller who has to get things at a certain price in order to make a profit for themselves as well. And if I can't get it at that price and they can't make a profit, then we're not saving the clothes.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, people have to be paid for their time. And it's just like, we have to consider, you know, everybody in that process. And, you know, we can take a cut, but even for myself, I, you know, am conservative with what I try and make a profit off of these items that are being shipped out, because I need and want the person who's getting the bulk to be able to make a profit and not to be, you know, spinning their wheels.
Right. So, you know, from a personal and again, professional standpoint, how do you feel like reselling helped you this past year, and possibly how did it hurt you?
Well, yeah, I mean, it helped me. I think, I mean, I've been reselling, like I said, for, yeah, I think 19 years now at this point. It has always helped me as a way to continuously be able to have new clothes. Like I love fashion. I've always loved fashion, but you know, I was very poor and grew up very poor. And, you know, sustainability was something that wasn't really talked about in the sense of like that word back then. It wasn't like a theme. Even though I was being sustainable, I didn't even realize it back in those days. And I think it's just helped me in my life overall, because it is my passion and it's given me something that excites me and makes me really happy, but also I'm able to make a living at, which I'm grateful for, because I know most people don't get to do that in their lives. Like a lot of people have to work jobs that don't fulfill their passions or maybe don't make them happy. And so I think reselling making me happy and giving me all that it's given, is really, you know, really the rose, in my rose and thorn there. And, how it has hurt me. Well, social media is difficult in general, I feel like, and I don't think I'm very good at social media. If I'm upset or sad or, you know, unhappy or uncomfortable, I shy away from social media. Like I can't pretend, I can't force myself to show up there. And so I think I'm just really inconsistent. And with reselling, I know so many people do so well because they are able to sell through their social media and promote through their social media and talk about it through social media. And then I'm over there just like sort of disappearing for days at a time. And people are like, are you okay, Jade? Like, yeah, I'm over here. I'm just working. Like, I'm good. I'm just not good at this. Sorry, guys. Mm-hmm. But it hurt me, obviously, with the We Were What situation. Working really, really hard on a business and then having the potential of it being taken away and just like the snap of someone's fingers is scary. I also learned, you know, further into the legalities of reselling, I was able to speak and meet someone who I absolutely love. Her name's Corey McFadden. You will have to look her up on social media and you will have to, you know, check out her history of reselling. She owned a bunch of really big stores in Chicago and she did luxury resale and consignment for a very long time. I believe she even had a TV show at one point. And during the, you know, We Were What situation, I was able to meet her and she talked to me about so much stuff and like things that she's been through with these big brands and companies coming after her in the past. And she was like a top seller. I mean, millions and millions of items sold and stuff on eBay. Like she was, I mean, she still is the real deal, but you know, she was the real deal reseller. So I got to meet her, which I'm really grateful for, and some other really awesome people through that situation. But that, you know, it made me realize like my business is not fortified enough and isn't prepared enough for these types of attacks or like situations. So I need to, you know, be more aware of that stuff. So that was definitely a thorn because learning, you know, about the law and rules and regulations and business stuff, it's the not so fun part of reselling. You know, yeah. I don't like the admin work, obviously.
Yeah, I think a lot of us don't like the admin work.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, so, you know, in thinking about, you know, the admin part and having to delve into parts of our business that we don't love.
One more thing. Sorry. Oh, yeah. I'm interrupting you. One more thing that is really difficult this past year with reselling is the physical labor. Mm-hmm. We had like no help other than Anna and I, and like maybe my husband sometimes, but we were lifting tens and tens of thousands of pounds a day, filling huge truckloads, moving like climbing up in warehouses, having to climb over clothes to get to a bathroom. And I have come into this new year with like carpal tunnel, a sore back. Like I have to go and like get a chiropractor. So there are physical implications to the job. So that would be one of my negatives from last year.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people can relate to that. And a good chiropractor, man, it's like the best reseller investment I can tell.
I know. I always see you going.
It's the best. Seriously. Take care of your back. Seriously. That's, you know, it's what supports your body. So, you know, where do you see the future of your business going this next year? I mean, you talked about how, you know, you've seen record profits this last year. I mean, when you have such an amazing year, how do you even look beyond it, or how are you looking beyond it?
I'm just trying to continue the momentum. But also, like I said earlier, trying to, you know, my focus really is on saving as many pieces as possible. So my plan for this year, is to expand where I sell the clothing and the types of clothing that I sell. I actually just started 2 weeks ago, a Depop shop called FWTEES. It's FWTEES. And in 2 weeks, we're already the 4,000th shop internationally on Depop. So we're actually like climbing really quickly on that platform. And our sales are really doing well. And I'm basically just selling old t-shirts. And that's awesome. I've been collecting them for months because, yeah, I didn't want them to go to waste, but it's not really something that fits the aesthetic of my Poshmark shop. So yeah, they're now going on to Depop. So we've started that new channel and income stream. And I have my new employee, Katie. She's actually helping to head that up and she's doing a really great job. I plan to expand offerings for bulk, including offering sort of like specifics for companies that are sustainable. So that are making sustainable clothes or reworking clothes and things like that. So working with them to extract more things that can't necessarily be resold or don't have a high resale value, but can have a higher value if something is added to them by a designer or used by a designer. So that is a section of the business that will be expanding in 2021. My Poshmark shop is continuing to grow. I really wish that they would release rankings on where we stand. I hope they do with the IPO out now. Maybe they will give us a little bit more information. But we have 4,700 items now available on Poshmark. And when I started 2020, we had 2,000 items. So we've more than doubled the offerings there on Poshmark. And, you know, of course, we've then more than doubled our sales because of it. I just plan to continue to grow that platform. And the other thing, and I think most exciting thing for 2021 that I'm working on and doing is I have in the works a resewn clothing brand that I'm trying to create, where basically we're taking used clothing that either has a very low resale value or there's just such an excess of it. And I've been kind of keeping track of what I see the most of and trying to plan out how to remake those items into something that is desirable and sellable again. So we are basically taking, you know, the first project is taking men's shirts because we have so many men's button-down work shirts. I mean, they're just the excess amount of these. Even if you go into a thrift store, there's so many of them, right? And most of them do not hold a ton of value. So we're deconstructing those, completely taking them apart. Everything gets washed and cleaned and they're being reassembled into dresses. So we're actually creating a pattern. So every dress will be the same dress, but it will be made from different shirts. So it will have different patterns, but it's the same dress over and over again. So it will allow us to actually scale the process rather than just being able to make, you know, one of a kind one-offs. They will be one of a kind, but they'll all be the same dress. So that's the next step. And projections, we're estimating, you know, potentially we could save like another 100,000 pieces of clothing alone just by doing that process. And I'm really, really excited about it. And the dress is just the first thing. And we obviously plan to do like other types of clothing. And yeah, that is a bit of an arduous process though, because wow, it's very expensive to do all of this work, deconstructing clothes, reconstructing the clothes, cleaning the clothes, sorting the clothes. It's very labor intensive, you know, time intensive, and it's expensive to do. And you know, I'm trying to create things at a price point where it is accessible to people, but I also have to consider that people need to be paid living wages that are making the clothes, and we're making it all in America and here in New York. So yeah, it's been interesting. I'm learning a lot and working on it and thinking about it a lot. So those are the things. And well, I guess the last thing that's expanding in the business are partnerships with small sustainable makers. And the next one that I have coming up is Fly By Night. Her name's Laura Harrington, and she makes these beautiful headbands that she calls crowns, and they're absolutely gorgeous. So I've partnered with her, and we'll be launching a crown line very soon, where they're all made from items that I find that cannot be mended or, you know, reconstructed, but have smaller pieces of fabric that can be used that have nice prints or are like pretty or whatever. And she turns them into crayons and then sends them back to me, and we'll photograph them and put them up for sale on the website. So I'm excited about that. And I hope to work with her on a quarterly basis to do a launch every sort of quarter. And perhaps we'll be working on some one-of-a-kind clothing as well. And I just hope to also work with more makers like her so that we can create some really cool stuff with the clothes.
That's exciting. I love a good headband. So I'm going to have to, or yes. A crown.
You are going to love these. You have to get one because they're so amazing.
I will. Yes. I'm excited. And, you know, gosh, you just have nothing going on for 2021, Jade. You know, yeah, the one thing, dare I ask, you know, is in terms of, and I know that you say you feel like you're not the best at social media, but what about for content in terms of 2021? Have you thought about what sort of content you want to put out?
Yes, actually, I have been working on a content calendar and planning for this year, because I was able to hire somebody else on. I now, you know, have one or two days sort of freed up that I don't have to be in the warehouse. So I'm trying to repurpose those days to, you know, working on some of those projects that I just talked about, but also towards working on social media and helping, you know, mostly educate people on how to resell and how to, you know, or just about the sustainability of clothing and things along those lines, you know, everything that I do and love. And actually last year I began working on a course for Poshmark sellers. I spent 3 months of the pandemic, like specifically working on that. So I have probably 100 or so scripts for YouTube videos all completely written out already for the first like part of the course. And then I have like 4 more parts to the course that I haven't even like written out yet. So the first part of the course is basically done. I did plan on launching that last year, and I plan to launch it on YouTube for free. It wasn't to monetize in any other way other than to put it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the timing of when I was going to launch it was, you know, not the right time. And I had no business, you know, doing anything but supporting other people at that time and supporting our community and what was, you know, America is still in the place that it's in. I don't want to, you know, take this conversation in that direction, but yeah, it wasn't the right time. So I decided to wait. And in waiting, I then also became really busy with the bulk and stuff. So it got put to the side, and I need to pick it back up this year. Basically, I want to get it launched this year, especially with Poshmark then going to Australia, which I just posted about today on social media, and expanding and stuff. I want to be able to help people sell on Poshmark, and I want to provide, you know, these easy, simple videos that anybody can type in any Google search and be able to come up with a video that gives them a quick, really quick answer. And just like help them with that.
That's awesome. Yeah. That sounds like that'll be, you know, pretty informative to people who are looking to learn more about Poshmark, and helps us as resellers, because it just draws more people in to be buyers and sellers, mm-hmm. which I always love.
Are you tired of spending hours sharing and sending offers to likers? Introducing Posher VA, the web program that will save you time and increase your sales. With Posher VA, you can automatically share your closet, send offers to likers, and schedule your share times all with just a few clicks. Using code ELDUCHO, you can try Posher VA for 2 weeks for free, no credit card required. Posher VA is not just another program, it is your program. Say goodbye to manual sharing and hello to even more time in your business. Try Posher VA today using code ELDUCHO, ELDUCHO.
Question for you, Jade, is if you could go back in time to when we last spoke in September of 2019, and given yourself a piece of advice or guidance for the year ahead, what would you have told yourself?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's so many things. So many things come to mind. Gosh, this is a really difficult question for me, especially for telling myself what to do in 2020 ahead of time. Oh gosh, I would have told myself, you know, we were already listing a lot and like prepping a lot in 2019, thankfully. But I would have told myself to hang on to more of my bulk inventory versus selling it, because we ran out of inventory during the pandemic. So we didn't have anything left to list. Like, wow. 2 weeks in. Yeah, we had it all listed. And I was like, oh no, I've sold off all this extra inventory because I had been getting so much, you know? And so I think my advice to myself would be like, okay, you need to keep more of a back stock, because I was always of this sense of like, oh, get it in, get it listed, get it out, you know, and don't keep a death pile, don't keep a bunch of extra stuff. But now I have like a cachet, whatever you call it, of stuff that sits in a closet here. You know, it's like 2,000 pieces of good things that I'm like, okay, I'm banking some of this stuff. This needs to be replenished if stuff is taken out of here. So that way, if anything happens, we have a certain period of time and a certain amount of runway, so to speak. If I lost suppliers, or if, you know, we had another shutdown, whatever it may be, we have enough stuff to get through at least a few months of listing and selling.
Yeah, that's crazy that you ran out so early. Is that because you were sending in bulk to other people?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I started sending out bulk in, you know, I sold mystery boxes in January, at the end of January, and beginning of February. And I did like $8,000 in one day on Poshmark of mystery boxes, which was crazy. And it overwhelmed me, especially because the WeWareWhat situation just happened. So I was just like trying to get back into work. And I was like, I can't handle it. And I ended up taking like a social media break at the same time.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry, guys, I just gotta go. I just like left. I was like, bye. I gotta get out of here.
So how long were you without inventory for?
Probably like 6 weeks or 2 months.
Wow. Yeah,
6 to 8 weeks I was without inventory. I mean, we were working full time at that point on building out the course. So like I said, a lot of that work has been done already. So it's there. It just hasn't been filmed and stuff like that. But yeah, we were out of inventory for a long period of time. And then I was able to convince some suppliers to work with me and, you know, in a safe way. And we followed guidelines and were able to do it. And then it just got back on very quickly.
Gotcha. Well, thank you so much, Jay. This has been such a fun conversation, and I'm looking forward to buying my crown this year and and watching your free course material on YouTube and buying a bulk box and getting my re-sewn dress.
Yes, that one I'm that will literally make my heart like explode.
I want a re-sewn dress with my headband, and I want to just like, I don't know, take one of those Instagram photos in New York of me like twirling with an ice cream in my hand.
Yes. We do plan to make headbands and masks that match the dresses.
Ooh, so that's a good idea. Masks as well.
It could be a whole fit, a whole fit. Yeah.
Just now work on the shoes. You just need to get the shoe part down.
Oh no.
Become a cobbler.
Oh my gosh. Follow, I think it's Vince's Village Cobbler or something like that on social media. They have the best shoe transformations and bag transformations ever. They're here in New York. It is like the absolute porn. It is amazing.
Well, okay, that's your next partner. There you go.
Well, actually, yeah, I thought about it. Trust me, I've definitely wanted it. I'm like, can you be my friend?
Yeah, let's add that to the list, because you don't have enough stuff to do. So
I know. Can I watch you clean shoes?
Exactly.
It's a weird thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I promise. Put it on the internet.
I'm not gonna pull an army hammer.
Oh my gosh. Timely. That will make sense in a year or two, but no. Timely. Well, thank you so much, Jade. This has been such a fun conversation. I appreciate you taking time out of your day Yes.
And congratulations on this podcast and how long it's been running. And I'm so proud of you. And I think it's so awesome. You're such a great person inside and out. And I really admire your business and work ethic.
Thank you, friend. I wish I could give you a hug after saying that, but you're too far away and also a pandemic. Yeah. So, yeah. All someday. Right. Well, I will talk with you soon.
Okay. Sounds good. Bye. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey there, thanks for tuning into the Flip the Script podcast. I wanted to take a quick moment to express my gratitude for your continued support. As a listener, you play a crucial role in the success of this podcast, and there are so many ways you can help out, and I'd love to share a few with you. For starters, you can support the podcast with a monthly donation as low as 99 cents at flipthescriptpodcast.com. Every little bit counts. And if you want to show your love even more, don't forget to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your favorite podcasting platform. I read every review and really appreciate those who've left reviews already. And last but not least, be sure to check out the affiliate links in the show notes. There is a small kickback that is received from any purchases that you might make. And of course, follow flipthescript.pod on Instagram. It's also a great way to stay up to date on the latest episodes and behind the scenes content. Thank you again for being a part of the Flip the Script community. I couldn't do it without you. Thank you again to Jade for being on this week's episode of the podcast. It's always such a pleasure to get to talk on the phone with you and have a conversation about your business and hear how you are looking to grow and expand. I'm really excited to see what you do in 2021. Again, you can find Jade on Instagram under the username Fashion Without Trashin and on her website, which is fashionwithouttrashin.com, or on Poshmark as Ornamental Stone. Again, all of this information will be in the show notes for you. Here we are in almost the end of January. I can't believe it. I feel like this year is going by so quickly. I hope that you guys have been finding some great items at the thrift store and you're getting items listed in a timely manner. I hope sales pick up for you if they've been slow. And in the meantime, keep on listing and keep on selling.